Good evening. Great to see you all. Do keep that passage open. And tonight is the last little one in Psalms. It's been great, isn't it? What a blessing to be in the Psalms this summer. It's just lifted my heart, encouraged me in the Christian legs and life. I'm sure it's done the same for you. Let's pray as we come now to God's Word. Let's pray. Lord, we want to be still before you. We need to hear your voice. We need to hear your truth that we might live by it. So would you come now by your Spirit and speak truth. Help us to see and understand. Help me in all my weakness to proclaim your glorious truth and your wonderful name. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, friends, I wonder, what do you fear? Maybe right now it's going back to school this week or going back to university and the challenge of following Christ and what your friends think. We fear what others think, don't we, about us? And sometimes that can hold us back from living the Christian life. We find it too hard sometimes to be different. We fear people. Maybe it's the fear of ill health. Maybe you've got an appointment with a doctor this week and you're not sure what he's going to say. Maybe we're fearful of our boss at work. And we're so concerned to please our boss and our company that we fear them more than seeking to please the Lord. Maybe it's the fear of the future or failure or all manner of things. What do you fear? The reality is we will all experience fears. This logo, no fear, I think is an impossibility in life. I was watching this remarkable rescue on the news a few weeks ago. Do you see this? Of this extraordinary cable car, one of the cables snapped and these guys and their teachers were hanging on and they looked terrified. It was such a fearful moment. I wonder if they were all rescued. Reminded me of a trip I went on recently in a cable car. I went with Jenny and two of the girls and we were traveling up. And I don't like heights, but I was feeling pretty cocky. And I said, I'm not scared. How do you feel, Jen? And Jen said, I don't feel scared at all. And we got in this cable car and up we went. And I noticed my darling wife biting her hat really tightly. The teeth marks were in the hat at the end of the trip. She was fearful. She was freaked out. But then I had my comeuppance. On the way down, the drop was so extreme and the cable car stopped and began making a funny noise. And suddenly I found myself closing my eyes, grabbing my children tight to me and just praying. I was fearful. I was freaked out. Fear is real, isn't it? We can fear people. And actually, we can fear sickness. We can fear the uncertainties of life and the future. It affects us physically. Dry mouths, stomach ache, anxiety. It's horrid. And fear can really affect our faith. We can lose sight of reality. We can do the strangest of things in response to fear. Now, friends, fear is an inevitable part in many ways of living in a fallen and uncertain world. Fear affects us all. And Psalm 34, this psalm, tells the story of one man, David, who was fearful, who was very afraid, and the Lord helped him. And now David, who wrote this psalm, wants to help us, to tell us what to do when we face fears in this song he writes for God's people to sing. Do you see his testimony? It's there in verse 4. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all of my fears. And we're told exactly when that happened in his life. It's in the words of the introduction, that scripture to Psalm 34. Do you see like verse 0 of David, when he pretended to be insane before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he left. The story is recorded in 1 Samuel chapter 21. David was already running from King Saul, who wanted to kill him. And he ends up in front of the Philistine king, King Abimelech, also known as King Achish, who'd of course have loved to get rid of the king of Israel, the future king. And David is scared. He's afflicted with fear. And from Psalm 34, he cries out to God for help. In that moment, he used his wits to help him in this desperate situation to get free. He pretends to have lost the plot, dribbling down his beard, we're told in 1 Samuel, scratching the walls. And King Achish thinks to himself, this guy's no threat, and he lets him go. But notice David takes no credit for that. Psalm 4, I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. However quick-witted he was in that moment to feign madness, David is absolutely clear the Lord delivered him from that fearful time. Friends, the reality is we will all face fears. But what will we do? Well, the Lord through David calls us to listen to his testimony so we can learn what to do when we face fears. And the answer may well surprise us. The answer to fear is to fear. The answer to fear is to fear. To fear the Lord. To fear God instead. To fear the Lord. Look at verses 8 and 9. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his holy people. For those who fear him lack nothing. Fear the Lord, you his holy people. For those who fear him lack nothing. Now, friends, not all fear is bad fear, is it? Fear can keep us safe and secure. This psalmist is showing us that as he fears the Lord. As a parent, I remember trying to get my kids to realize how safe they were when I strapped them to their seat and put them in the car. But when I stood at the side of the road, I made them as scared as I could of the cars going fast by. Do not step in front of a car. You should fear the car. But it can be a place of safety. Or the log burning stove at home. It keeps us warm. It gives us comfort. But if you touch the flames, that is to be feared. That is damaging and dangerous. Not all fear is bad fear. Fear can keep us safe and secure. And this psalmist encourages us. Verse 8, to taste and see that the Lord is good. That's his experience of God, like a lovely bit of food that you get your friends to taste. Here's a fork, taste and see. So David says the Lord is good. Trust him, prove him, taste him. But recognize the God who is faithful and mighty is also to be feared. And that right fear will help us with all of our fears. I wonder what your view of God is like. How do you see God? Is he like a tame, soft, white-bearded Father Christmas? Or do we see him as the Bible shows us, the mighty God, the Lord, who we heard last week in Psalm 33, speaks and sees, who's sovereign and who saves? He, friends, is a good refuge because he's so mighty, and yet he's to be honoured and obeyed and feared by his people. It's that lovely moment, which I guess you know, in C.S. Lewis's book, The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, when Susan is speaking to Mr. Beaver about Aslan. Aslan's the mighty king of Narnia, a picture of the Lord, really, throughout the book. And this is the conversation between Susan and Mr. Beaver. Aslan is a lion. The lion, the great lion? Who, said Susan, I thought he was a man. Is he quite safe? I shall feel rather nervous about meeting a lion. Safe, said Mr. Beaver. Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe, but he's good. He's the king, I tell you. Of course he isn't safe, but he's good. He's the king, I tell you. As in this picture of the Lord in that book. Our God is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. But he is to be feared. He's not safe. Fear the Lord. See, when you face fears, which you all will, maybe right now you are, we need to allow the greater fear of the Lord to help us, to give us perspective, to deal with the fear. Displace the fear with a greater fear. Fear the Lord, you his holy people. And we're going to look at just four ways that the psalm calls to fear the Lord. Just going to bash through them quickly. Lots of things we could say from this psalm. There's so much in it, but four things to say. And can you see what David wants to do? He wants to teach us. He says, come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you to fear the Lord. Four things that David teaches us. Many more, but let's look at four. First is this. The fear the Lord by obeying him. Fear the Lord by obeying him. Look at verse 11 to 14. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Simple point is this, isn't it? When the pressure's on, when you're facing fear, fear of your boss or your friends, it might drive you to do wrong things because you are fearful of them. See, what are we tempted to do when we fear others more than the Lord? We are tempted to sin, aren't we? We're told, verse 13, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. When you and I worry about things that more than the Lord, when we want to please people more than pleasing the Lord, when we're more concerned to be liked and popular, and our fears can lead us to sin and not to obedience. You might end up speaking evil about someone. You might lie. You might hide what you really know to be true. It can lead us all to joining in with stuff that is wrong and not walking and living in God's ways. Instead of fearing the Lord and wanting to honour him in all we do, we can so easily chicken out and blend in and fear others. The Lord makes his ways very clear in Scripture. Here David instructs us to fear the Lord. Verse 14, turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Friends, fearing the Lord is really practical. It's about obedience, doing what he wants, what's pleasing to him. I was studying this passage this week. And I was just so convicted by it, but by these words, that little phrase, seek peace and pursue it. I thought of a person that I needed to do that with, and I was just praying about it, saying, Lord, how do I sort that relationship out that's become really difficult? How do I seek peace and pursue it? What do I do, Father? And then I got a text from this person. They said, I'm going past your house. Can we meet for a chat? And I wanted to say, I'm too busy. Because I was scared. I was so fearful to see them again. And Jenny and I were talking about it. And I thought, I've got to fear the Lord. I've got to fear him, not men. I've got to sort this out. And praise God, that night, peace is restored. But it was really frightening. And he was terrified too. Fearing the Lord, obeying him. It feels hard. We need to push through that. Fear the Lord by obeying him. Secondly, fear the Lord by crying out to him. This psalm is a great way of using words that help us to cry out to the Lord. Look at verses 15 to 18. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, on his people, on us. His ears are attentive to their cry. He's waiting for us to speak to him, friends, to cry out to him. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to blot out their name from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He saves those who are crushed in spirit. It's a huge encouragement from this psalm to keep crying out to the Lord, because when we do, we are fearing him, we are honoring him, we're depending on him. Verse 15, he cries out. Verse 17, he cries out. And the Lord hears him. Right now, you might be feeling brokenhearted. Verse 18, crushed in your spirit. What's in that situation where you feel sorrow and fearful? You can't just turn in on yourself. Well, no, friends, turn to the Lord. Cry out to him. Depend on him. Speak to him. Pray. Fear him. See, those who fear the Lord, who honour the Lord, depend on him in all of life. And that is expressed through the wonderful privilege that we can speak. And the Lord hears and listens and he responds. Do you know, I find that my daily time with the Lord is so important to me, to spend time each morning to pray and to read the Bible, to come before God, to hear his word, words of comfort and challenge and rebuke, and to cry out to him. I'd be lost without that. It's great news, isn't it? Verse 18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. And he saves those who are crushed in spirit. Maybe that's you tonight. Come to the Lord. Fear him by crying out to him. Isn't it amazing as believers, for Christians tonight, we can come to God, the mighty God who is to be feared, and draw near to him as our Father. And he loves to draw us near to, and loves to draw near to us, to bring the comfort of his mighty power and loving care to bear on our lives. Friends, he is for us. He moves towards us. It's quite a contrast to the experience of those who don't fear him. Look how terrifying that is. Verse 16, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to blot out their name from the earth. That's the reality. If we don't know the Lord, he is to be feared as judge in that situation. But we fear him as our Lord and the one who cares for us, who comes alongside us. David's testimony and the testimony of many, many believers is this, verse 4, I sought the Lord and he answered me, he delivered me from all my fears. Fear the Lord by crying out to him. Fear the Lord by knowing his final verdict. Have a look at verses 19 to 22. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all his bones. Not one of them is to be broken. Evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord will rescue his servants. No one who takes refuge in him will be condemned. Now, David is very honest, isn't he? He doesn't give a candy-coated view of the Christian life. Come to Jesus and all be fine. No, verse 19, the righteous person, the believer, may have many troubles. And who of us doesn't have troubles? That's true. Following Christ does not protect you from troubles of this life. In fact, following Jesus can make your life much tougher, because we stand out and we're different, and that's not always loved and liked in our culture. And friends, as we're tempted to bend in and fear people and blend in, we're not to lose that eternal perspective. Do you see that in verse 21? Evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned. Condemnation will rest on those eternally who oppose God's righteous people. Justice will come. A day of reckoning will be there. We may not see it now in our lifetime, but it will come. Deliverance for God's people and judgment for his enemies. But also look at the promise of the Lord there in verse 22. The Lord will rescue his servants. No one who takes refuge in him will be condemned. God's people, those who trust and fear the Lord, who trust in the Savior, those who run to him for refuge and salvation, will not be condemned eternally. That is a glorious gift. It's a miracle, isn't it? As I think of the times in my life when I've done stuff because I fear people more than fearing God, when I speak evil and do wrong. Friends, I'm a sinner who fails, and yet I'm someone who, by God's grace, has taken refuge in the Lord. And this psalm tells me, and David tells me, because of that, I am not condemned. Isn't that amazing love? How can that be? Well, it's because of the righteous one, the perfect king, David's greater son, King Jesus. This psalm points us forward to him. See, Jesus, he faced fear for us. He faced affliction for us. He faced heartache and sorrow for us. He was pursued to death by his enemies. He said to his Father, not my will, I'm going to fear you. Yours be done. And because he feared God, he wanted to honor his Father above all others in the face of fear. And it was real. It was terrifying. The horrors of the cross, being crushed and condemned on the cross. He willingly went that way for us. He feared God. He obeyed God. He cried out to God that we might not be condemned. It's amazing when you read John's gospel of the crucifixion. The soldiers come to the three people hanging on the cross, and they come to break their legs, to break the bones in their legs, to make sure they're dead. But when they get to Jesus, they don't need to. He's already died. The work is done. And amazing, this verse speaks forward of that moment. Verse 20, he protects all his bones. The bones of Jesus were not broken. Not one of them will be broken. This is our Saviour Jesus, who suffered for us, who died on the cross, who obeyed the Lord, who feared the Lord, his Father, and did what he said. And he fearlessly pursued us to save us, that we might not be condemned for our failures and our sins and our fear of man. He was condemned for me. Such good news, isn't it? Verse 22. The Lord will rescue his servants. No one who takes refuge in him will be condemned. No one. If you trust in Jesus tonight, you will not be condemned on the last day. Isn't that lovely, that hymn? No condemnation now I dread. Something to be feared, but no need to fear it anymore because of Christ. How beautiful. What hope to live boldly by. You know, I don't need to fear men. I fear God by knowing that I'm not condemned. I'm secure in him. I can live differently. My future is secure. My destiny is set through Christ. To know more of the Lord and to follow him and enjoy him and that glorious hope of standing before him and being welcomed by him and not condemned. Do you know, his final verdict on our life, which we hear tonight, gives us courage, doesn't it? To fear the Lord more than men or women, more than anything else in this world, to fear the Lord, to be set free to live for him. I love the verse of this old hymn. Jesus, the name to sinners dear, the name to sinners given, it settles all their guilty fear, all our fears, and it turns their hell to heaven, not condemned. And finally, very quickly, fear the Lord by praising him together. Then it's how the psalm begins. Psalm 34. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. He speaks to us. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. You know when we gather to sing praise? That's so good for us. Because together we exalt God's name, we make God great. We see how amazing is his thing, amazing truths about him. Praising him together helps us to fear the Lord because actually together we see how wonderful he is. The gift of praise stirs afflicted hearts to fear the Lord and not to fear men. The Lord calls us all tonight, afflicted, fearful, to hear and rejoice and to praise and glory the Lord together. Praise gives God the glory and the honor he deserves. It stirs us up together to have a bigger vision of God as we go into the week, to love, worship, and fear him above all. Friends, resolve with God's help to displace fear with the fear of the Lord. Let's take a moment to be still and bow our heads. Maybe you've got something right now that you are fearful of. It's gripping your heart and taking your gaze off Jesus, off the Lord and his might, that you're not fearing God, you're fearing situations and men. And just confess that to the Lord. And cry out to him. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful testimony from David, this song of praise calling us to fear the Lord. Help us, Lord God, in all our weakness and our fears and our humanity, to displace fear with fear of you, seeking to honor you. Help us in our fears not to sin, but to honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.